Hello friends, hello family, what a blessing to see you again, and thank you for tuning into this Sunday's message. Yeah, today is just a special day in my heart because I just have this sense of God loving you and loving me unconditionally and just presenting His love to us today in a new way so that we just be able to experience that love and also to apply it in our lives and come to that place where we together as a body are filled with the fullness of God. You know, I just want to start off with the scripture that I think has been almost like a scripture that everybody's been reading in this time as we've been preaching together. You know, Yanu and Steve and everybody has been teaching about this. But I just, something came out to me in the scripture while I read it, and it's in Ephesians 3, verse 15 to 19. And as I read it the other day, I just felt the Holy Spirit ministered to me about the fact that we, as a body of believers, as children of God together, will grasp a corporate understanding of the love of God for us. That we would, as a family, understand this. And so that when people meet us in town or wherever we are in the workplace, that they would feel that sense of rest and not feel pressurized to perform, because this world really places that pressure on us to perform. And when you get around some people, suddenly you feel like you need to perk up and just do things better, and you know, there's that pressure that shines out from some people. But the Lord doesn't want that for our lives. He wants us to create rest in people, not to make them feel like they are under an obligation to perform, but to come to a place of rest where the love of Christ compels us, and where the love of Christ makes us work even more and even better like than we would have in our own strength and in our own power. So I want to read this to you and read this with me with the mindset of it's corporate for all of us. Look at Ephesians 3 verse 15. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, talking about the whole family, all of us together, that He would grant you, the whole family, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might with His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, plural, by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all of us together, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you, all of you together, might be filled with the fullness of God. And you know, sometimes we feel it's our own job to be filled with the fullness of God in our personal life, and that is true. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. But really, this really speaks to a body of believers, and all of us together make the body of Christ. And all of us together can be filled with the fullness of God, and by each one playing its role out there, we together become a letter written from God's heart to the nations of this world, and even to the nations right here where we are in our midst. So last week, Pastor Steve spoke, and we had this amazing drive-in service, and he was preaching under a gazebo in the rain, and I just felt almost God's love just washing us as we were standing there in the rain. And just amazing how he used 1 Corinthians 13 to explain the love chapter, to explain God's character through that chapter. And today I just want to continue on sharing the love of God with you and stirring you up in terms of the love of God for you. And I'm going to do this by explaining two stories from my personal life that God used to explain these two points that I want to give you today. And these two points that I want to share with you today, the first one is being in the love of God declares you holy and blameless. Being in the love of God declares you holy and blameless. The second point I'm going to talk about, which is going to be another story, the love of God compels us to action. Now, let me just get into it right away. And the first point, being in the love of God declares you holy and blameless. The scripture that I want to give you and that I want to share with you on that is Ephesians 1 verse 4. I'm going to read out of the New King James. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It says here that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. Yeah, isn't that amazing how the Holy Spirit can make us understand that we can be holy and without blame before God in love. He chose us to be that way before Him. So what happened to me on a mission trip, and this is the story, is I was going on this mission trip and we were at a church and we were just sharing testimonies and we were sharing teaching with a body of believers. And we were really sharing on the unconditional love of God. We were sharing on how God's love has completely forgiven us, how He has made us brand new and righteous in Him. We were explaining about spirit, soul, and body, and how in the spirit you've been made blameless, righteous, holy before Him, and you are completely forgiven. And out of the crowd, while I was teaching this, a man asked the question. He put up his hand, and I was looking at him, and I could see he was a bit confused. And he said, "Why does it say in Matthew 6 that only when we forgive other people their trespasses will our Heavenly Father forgive us? Why does it say that?" And I was, for a moment, you know, looking at him, and I remember just getting my theological answer right at that moment. And of course, I had an answer, but my answer didn't even convince my own heart at that moment. And the answer that I gave him was, you must remember, this is still written before the cross. It is written in the old covenant when Jesus was still under the law. And only when you forgave, then God would forgive. So that was before the cross. And now that we are after the cross, God looks at us as holy and blameless. So I said that out of my theological brain, but it's as if I haven't experienced that. And you know, in 1 John 4, it speaks about we have known and believe the love of that God has for us. You know, we need to understand that it's not just about knowing about something, but it's about believing it in the middle of our belief system, in the middle of our heart. We need to have an understanding, a grasp of the love of God for us. So what happened is I had a lot of Charis Bible College students with me, and I remember we went home, and I said to the second year students, "Guys, let's put this scripture before us, because this man hasn't had a good answer and we need to explain to him what it's really about." So they read it with me, and they were also a little bit confused when they read it, and they said, "Yeah, we need some time to study and meditate on it." And it's just in Matthew 6. I'm going to read to you verse 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So all of us, a bit confused, went to our different places of study. I remember walking into my room where we were living at that stage. As I walked into my room, I suddenly felt the Holy Spirit ministered to me. And the Holy Spirit just basically asked me this question. And He said to me, "Alfred, so tell me, have you forgiven every single person perfectly?" And of course, my answer was, "No, Lord. I can't even remember who did what to me. I haven't done it." And I remember as clear as daylight, I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, "You are carnal." Carnal meaning you are fleshly. You are not thinking right at the moment. And I was like, "What? Lord, I'm just being honest. I'm being honest. I haven't forgiven. I can't remember. I mean, who did what to me when?" And He said to me, "Alfred, here's the question. So have you forgiven every single person perfectly?" I thought about it and I said, "Lord, I cannot say yes. I cannot come." He said, "Well, then you are carnal. You are after the flesh." And then while I was just communicating with Him, standing there in the room, suddenly it dropped in my spirit, and my spirit man understood something that my carnal brain couldn't understand. And the scripture that came up in my heart was Galatians 2 in verse 20, where it says, "It's no longer you that live, Alfred. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. And the life you now live, you don't even use your own faith to live it. You live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you." And that moment, I just suddenly realized God is looking at me, asking me this question. But you know, it's no longer I that live. I have died with Him. I've actually been buried with Him. I'm dead and gone. And when God looks at me, He doesn't see me anymore. My identity in His eyes is Christ. He looks at me from the perspective of Christ in me. I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ. And so what I got in that moment is God is not asking me the question. He's asking Christ in me the question. And you know what? What did Jesus say on that cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what kind of spirit they are of. So these guys that killed Jesus didn't understand why they did it. And he said, Father, forgive them. And you know, we've got that same Jesus in us. And you know, Jesus at that moment when he was on that cross forgave them. He let them go. You know, and so in my spirit at that moment, I realized God's not asking me the question. And then when I had that boom revelation, God like asked me the same question again. He said to me, Alfred, so have you forgiven every single person perfectly? And you know, at that moment, it was not me that answered the question. But out of my spirit, I just heard this. Yes, I have. So today, if you have condemned yourself because you've been trying to forgive people for stuff they've done to you, I want to encourage you. It's no longer you that live. It's not about you forgiving. It's about your taking on the identity of your spirit man, living out of the spirit and not out of the flesh, not of your out of your carnal brain, and coming to the realization Christ has done it. He has finished the job. He's forgiven every single person, and he doesn't look at you after the flesh anymore. He looks at you after the spirit. So I just want to read some more scriptures to you to just show you this. But one of the first scriptures that I read after that was in Ephesians 4 verse 32. And listen to this. It says, and be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This scripture just says that we need to forgive each other as God already for Christ's sake has forgiven us. You see, the love of God has changed everything in you, everything for you. He has made you completely holy and righteous before him. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 14. It says here, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This scripture talks about he is your peace. It's not like God is going to give you peace. It's like Christ has become your peace. It's not like you need peace. Christ is in you. He is your peace, you know. And some of us are looking for forgiveness. We're looking for peace. But we just need to remember in our carnal minds that it's no longer I that live. Christ is my peace. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Look at this. He has quickened us together with Christ. The previous verse that I read said, he has made both one. Yes, yes. Put us into Christ. It's like he poured Christ into you. It's like pouring cordial into water. I mean, that it colors the water and it infuses with the water, and you are now one with Christ. So what Christ is what you are, because Christ has moved into you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is why you are a glorious creature, not because you are so amazing on the outside, but because you are so amazing on the inside. And the word says we need to work out that salvation that is on the inside. The next point I want to make is the love of God. This love that has been poured out inside of us compels us, and it compels us to do things that is beyond ourselves and beyond our own ability. Maybe today you say you can't forgive. Well, that's right, you cannot do it, but Christ in you, he can do it. And the story I want to tell you that happened to me once is a story about how I had a Toyota Prado. Now, a Toyota Prado is this big 4x4 car, and I was living on a farm, and I bought this car from a guy. And this car looked so shiny on the outside. You know, sometimes we can be so shiny on the outside. It was red, and it was this metallic red Toyota Prado, and it was good, and I drove it for a while. But after a while, it started giving engine problems. At that stage, I was farming, and I actually separated myself for a while from my dad's farm, and I was farming on my own, and I was struggling a bit with finances, and I was just getting by, and it was kind of dry, and the sheep and all these expenses that you have doesn't always work the way you think it'll work. And I had this car on the farm, and this car broke down. I mean, the engine just went, and it literally needed a new engine. It was, if I was going to fix it, it was going to be so expensive that I had to rather buy a new one. And at that moment, I spoke to my dad, and I was a bit too proud to really ask him, because I know his answer will be yes if I ask. And so my dad just heard about the engine that broke, and sort of he said to me, Alfred, just go buy yourself one in Cape Town, and I've already paid for it. I phoned people, you can just go pick up the engine. You know, and the financial pressure that I remember my dad was under was quite heavy as well, because he had a milk farm, and you know, the milk price was a bit down, and I remember there was even debt, and we had to get rid of this debt. And so my dad literally indebted himself even more for me to go and buy that engine. And I remember as I drove between these two little towns, and I had the engine on the back of my truck, the scripture came up in my heart, and suddenly something happened in my heart, in my truck. The scripture was Matthew 7 verse 11, and it says here in the King James, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, I remember thinking, if my dad would say yes, if I asked him for this engine. And I remember I didn't even want to ask him, because I knew he would say yes. And you know, that's the way God is. But you know, my dad even indebted himself even more. He was already in debt, but he indebted himself even more, knowing that he wants the best for his son. And you know, that's really the love of God that is shed upon us. He shed broad in our hearts, but the love of God compelled him to give, to indebt, to make debt in heaven, to give his best, to give everything that he's got, so that you can have the freedom and the liberty that you experience today in Christ. God has given his best. He didn't give money. He gave his son. He gave his best, his ultimate possession, he gave to you. And you know, that is how the love of Christ, the love of God was compelled to do something, to see you in that place of freedom where you live today. I remember suddenly, as I was sitting in that car, there was a sense of the love of God. It was like the love I felt from my father to buy me that engine was suddenly multiplied by 1,000. And suddenly I felt the love of God in that car. And it was so strong and so heavy. It was like, how much more will your heavenly Father not give good gifts to those who ask him? Man, I wanna just encourage you, ask God, because he's loaded. Don't be so proud. Let God spoil you. Let God treat you. Take off those limits of your heart and let God bless you. Some of us are so stingy in our own minds that we wouldn't give anybody anything, and then we expect God that he wouldn't give us anything because we are stingy. Listen, God didn't wait for you to get your ducks in a row. He is a good God, whether you are good or not. God's goodness is always there. You know, and I understand there's laws of sowing and reaping and things that we need to do to tap into kingdom resources. But I just want to say to you, those things we do really to convince our own hearts of the kingdom realities. But from God's side, he's a generous giver. And we need to just get our hearts in line with who he is and let him spoil us. You know, after that, I had that engine on my car. I remember as I drove, I started crying, and there was this knowing in my heart of the love of God for me. And as I kept on driving, there was almost this feeling in my chest. I don't know if you felt it, like it's almost like when you cried and you feel a freedom on your heart. And that moment, something happened in my heart. It's as if my chest opened up to the love of God for me. And as I was driving, I saw a guy next to the road. He was sitting there, and he was like down and out. He was looking down, and his face was burnt in the sun, and he was just there. And as I drove past him, I couldn't otherwise but just stop my car right there. And as I stopped my car, it was almost like, it's not me doing this. I just stopped and said to him, hey man, how are you? And this guy got into the car with me, and we drove. And as we drove, I said to him, man, I'm just going to give you a good shower, and give you some good food so that you can be back on your way. And as we drove, he pulled out these papers, and I looked on it, and he said, so this is my qualifications. I'm a qualified mechanic. And he showed me all his papers about how he's a qualified mechanic. And at that moment, one and one just snapped into two for me. Okay, so this guy is going to be the guy that's going to put this engine in. After I gave him the shower and I gave him the food, he said to me, you know, let's go have a look at that engine. He inspected the engine on the back of my truck, and there was a fault with the engine. He could see that. I wasn't able to see that. He drove back to Paul with me. He exchanged that engine at that place for a better one. And we came back to my farm in Heidelberg. And this man helped me to put in that engine into that car. And he blessed me with this whole process. And after that, I took him back to Paul. I actually took him to Cape Town. And this whole issue was sorted out, and my car had a brand new engine. So this man actually blessed me more than what I blessed him. I want to tell you, when the love of God compels you, it always leads you to more life. It won't leave you barren. If you give, God will even give you much more. You can't outgive God. You can't tap into God's heart and sow into a kingdom resource, sow your resources into the kingdom without God blessing you behind the scenes and in your family and in your finances and in every area much more than you could ever give to Him. But it needs to be the love of God that compels us. And then we are really sowing and doing things in the new covenant. We are not doing things out of oldness of letter, but now we are serving God in newness of spirit. And I want to encourage you, my friends, today with these two points, that that God sees you as holy and blameless today. You are right before Him because of what Christ has done, and not because of what you have done. And I want to encourage you also that if the love of God compels you, if you seek that kingdom, that love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit, and let the love of God serve you, you'll see that you'll start living out of that abundant life on the inside. And if you seek first the kingdom, the love, the joy, and the peace in the Holy Spirit, if you seek first the kingdom, then God will also add all these other things to you. So I want to just declare this over you. Welcome to your new season. Let God's love compel you in this new season. Let Him be your source. It's no longer you that live. It's Christ that lives in you. And I want to encourage you, just tap into the river of God for your life. God's grace has provided for your life already. You cannot just miss the grace of God. It's right there before you. It's just we need a heart transplant. We need a heart change. We need to realize again how much we are loved by God. And let him tap into that kingdom reality of who you are in Christ. And start living from that place. Living from that river of life. And as you just live from that river and you flow into that river, God's going to show you how to flow into your new season. And you're going to be stronger than ever. This is the season that we are all moving in to a place of an understanding of God's love together. And I want to encourage you, my friend, be in that intimate place with God where He gives you that ability to understand the deep things that He feels for you. Flow with what God has for you. Don't depend on your own understanding. Be rooted and grounded in the love of God for you. This is what I want to bless you with. Thank you for listening. We are so excited for what's coming and for how God is busy showing us how to operate and do new things. Remember to like us on Facebook and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I just want to declare this over you. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.